Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet, Perek Yud Chet, Chapter 18. In preparation for battle, Vayifkod David et ha'am asher ito, Vayasem aleihem sarei alafim v'sarei me'ot. David took count of the men who were with him, and appointed officers of thousands and officers of hundreds. He then divided the troops into three groups, sending one-third under Yoav, the second under Avishai ben Tsruya, Yoav's brother, and the third under Ittai Hagiti, who had insisted on remaining with David, even when David tried to exempt him from following him into exile. The king declared his intention of leading the troops into battle, but they protested, insisting that if they were to be driven to retreat from the battle, Avshalom's soldiers would pay no heed and let them go, but if they knew that David were with them, they would pursue them until he were captured. Moreover, they argued, you are worth 1,000 of us. Better that you should remain in the city and help us from there, whether with prayer or with strategy as may be. The king agreed and stood by the gate as the men passed by in their units. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Vayitzav ha-melech et Yoav ve'et Avishai ve'et Ittai le'mor. Le'atli la'na'ar le'av shalom. V'chol ha'am sham'u b'tzavot ha-melech et kol ha-sarim al dvar Avshalom. The king commanded Yoav, Avishai, and Ittai, saying, for my sake, have pity on the youth Avshalom. And all the nation heard as the king commanded the officers regarding Avshalom. The nation went out to the field to face the army of Yisrael, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. Let's remember that this battle is taking place on the eastern side of the Yordan. What's a forest of Ephraim doing over there? So Radak explains that this was one of the takanot of Yehoshua, that animals belonging to a particular shevet may graze in land belonging to another tribe. This area where the battle was taking place was an area frequented by shepherds of Ephraim, and therefore was called by their name, even though it was not part of the portion of Ephraim. The army of Avshalom suffered a devastating defeat at the hands of David's men, numbering 20,000 casualties. The battle spread out over the whole region, and the forest devoured more men than the sword that day. Rashi adds the words, Chayot ra'ot bayar, wild animals of the forest, who attacked Avshalom's men. Radak suggests that men were injured by the trees and roots of the forest as they tried to escape. Vayikare Avshalom lifnei avdei David, ve'Avshalom rochev al hapered, vayavo hapered tachad sobech ha'ela hagdola, vayechezak rosho ba'ela, vayutan ben hashamayim uven ha'aretz, ve'hapered asher tachtav avar. Meanwhile, it happened that Avshalom encountered some of David's men. He was riding on a mule, and the mule passed beneath the tangled branches of a great terebinth, an elah, which is a very common tree in Israel. The branches of the elah are very low-hanging branches that grow thickly together. Avshalom got caught in the branches of the tree and was left dangling between heaven and earth as his mule continued to run. The pasuk terms the mule that Avshalom was riding on ha-pered, the mule, not just any mule, but Chazal explained that he was riding on the mule reserved for the king himself. Thus, the mule passing from beneath Avshalom is symbolic of the malchut passing out of his control. Mishbitzot Zahav suggests another layer of meaning. The root pered also means separation, perud. Avshalom had been controlling the split among the people, and now that his term was ending, so too would the division of the nation. Chazal add that Avshalom was punished midah keneged midah, measure for measure. The Gemara in Sota 9b teaches, Avshalom nitga'e b'sa'aro, lefichach nitla b'sa'aro. Avshalom was vain about his hair, so he was hung by his hair. Because Avshalom abused something that is intended to lead to spiritual elevation and turned it into a source of material pride, it became the instrument of his downfall. One might wonder why Avshalom did not simply cut himself loose and run away on foot. Rashi cites the teaching of the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud that he unsheathed his sword to cut his hair and let himself loose when he looked down and saw the fire of Gehinnom open beneath him and decided that it would be better to be killed by his father's soldiers, in which case his death itself would serve as a form of kapara, of atonement, rather than falling immediately into the abyss. One of the men who saw Avshalom ran to tell Yoav that he had seen him dangling in the tree. Yoav exclaimed, "Umadu alo hikito sham arza, ve'alai latet lecha asara kesef v'chagora achat. Why did you not strike him then and there? I would have rewarded you with 10 silver pieces and a belt," which must have been equivalent to some kind of medal, something worn by a hero. Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Vayomir ha'ish el Yoav, Vilu anochi shokel al kapai elef kesef, lo eshlach yadi el ben hamelech, ki beozneinu tziva hamelech otcha ve'et avishai ve'et itai leimor, shimru mi bana'ar be'avshalom. The man responded to Yoav, "Even if I were to have felt in my own hands the weight of 1,000 silver coins, I would not have dared to lay a hand on the king's son. For we all heard in our own ears when the king commanded you and Avishai and Ittai, saying, 'Watch over young Avshalom.' And if I had betrayed myself by doing such a thing, nothing is hidden from the king, and you would have stood by and let me suffer the punishment," implying any reward you could give me would be meaningless when David would hear that I was the one who killed his son. Pasuk Yudzalid, verse 14, Vayomer Yoav, Lochein ochila lefanecha, Vayikach shlosha shvatim bechapo, Vayitkaim belev Avshalom, Odenu chai belev ha'ela. In that case, said Yoav, "I will not wait for you." And he took 3 darts in his own hand and shot them into Avshalom's chest, who was still alive in the heart of the terebinth, while 10 young arms bearers of Yoav surrounded the tree and struck Avshalom to death. Radak cites the teaching of Chazal that these numbers are symbolic. 3 darts symbolize the 3 hearts that Avshalom deceived: the heart of his father, the heart of the Beit Din, the court, and the heart of the nation. And the 10 archers were punishment for the 10 concubines that he had lain with. Yoav blew the shofar to signify the end of the battle, and the men returned from their pursuit of Yisrael, for Yoav held them in check. They took Avshalom's body and threw it into a deep pit in the forest and set up a large heap of stones over it, and all of Israel fled to their homes. During his lifetime, Avshalom had set up a monument to himself in the Valley of the King, saying, "I have no son to commemorate my name." Radak explains that the sons whom we mentioned earlier that had been born to him upon his return to Yerushalayim had died, leaving him with no heir. And he called the monument by his name, and it is known as Yad Avshalom to this day. Ahima'atz, the son of Tzadok, offered to run to tell the king what had happened. But Yoav said, "No. Vayomer lo Yoav, lo ish besora ata hayom, hayom hazeh, uvisarta biyom acher, vehayom hazeh lo tevaser, ki al ben hamelech met. You shall not be the bearer of tidings today. You may bring the news another time, but not today, for the king's son is dead." The implication is that Yoav does not want Ahima'atz to be the bearer of news that he knows David will not want to hear. Yoav turned to Akushi and said, "Go and tell the king what you saw." Malbim, who is always sensitive to the precise language of the text, notes that Yoav does not use the word bisora, news, for he knows that David will not consider this good tidings, yet he must be told. He tells him to tell the king all he saw, not simply that Avshalom was killed, but how he was caught in the branches of the tree, hoping that David will see from that it was divine providence, Hashkachat Hashem, that brought about his death. The Cushite bowed to Yoav and set off running, but Ahima'atz ben Tzadok persisted, saying to Yoav, "Come what may, I too will run." Yoav again tried to dissuade him, saying, "Why should you run, my son, when your news will not be welcome? Nevertheless, I will run." "So run," said Yoav, and Ahima'atz ran by way of the plain and overtook the Cushite. David was sitting between the inner and outer gate, and the lookout on the roof of the city gate saw a single runner approaching the city. He called to the king, and the king responded that a lone runner must be good news. If the army were in retreat, we would expect to see them running away together. A single runner means that the army was secure and taking their time, and they just sent someone ahead with the news. The lookout then spotted a second runner, and he called out to the gatekeeper, "I see a second runner." "He too must be a herald," replied the king. The lookout said, "The first runner seems to me to be running like Achimatz ben Sadok." Achimatz was apparently known for his swiftness and his diligence. In verse 27, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayomer HaMelech, Ish Tov Zeh, Ve'el Besorat Tova Yavo. The king replied, "He is a good man. He must be bearing good tidings," which is, of course, precisely why Yoav had not wanted him to go, for he knew that David would draw that conclusion. Achimaatz called out a greeting to the king, "Shalom," which in this case serves as both a greeting and an announcement that peace had been achieved. He bowed to the king and said, "Baruch Hashem Elokecha, asher sigar et ha'anashim asher nasu et yadam ba'adoni ha'melech. Blessed be Hashem, who has given over the men who raised their kings against my lord the king." Vayomer ha'melech, Pasuk Chavtet, verse 29, "Shalom la'na'ar la'avshalom? Is all well with the young Avshalom?" Vayomer Achimaatz, "Ra'iti ha'amon ha'gadol lishloach et eved ha'melech Yoav et avdecha, ve'lo yadati ma." Achimaatz responded, "I saw a large crowd gathering when Yoav was sending me off, but I don't know what..." "Stand aside," said the king, and Achimaatz stood aside and waited, and the Cushite arrived and announced, "Yitbaser Adoni HaMelech, ki shvatcha Hashem hayom miyad kol hakamim alecha." "Let the king be made aware that Hashem has vindicated you today from the hands of all who rose against you." Vayomer HaMelech el HaKushi, "Hashalom lana'ar le'avshalom?" And the king said to the Cushi, "But what of Avshalom? Is he well?" Vayomer HaKushi, "Yihiyu chana'ar oyvei Adoni HaMelech, b'chol asher kamu alecha lera'a." And the Cushite responded, "May all the enemies of my lord the king who rise against him for evil purposes be like the young man." We will see David's reaction in the next perek, but without giving it away entirely, I just want to address for a moment why Achimaatz was so persistent in insisting that he be the one to bring the news to David. Like Yoav, he must have been aware that David would draw the conclusion that he must be coming bearing good news. It seems that Achimaatz wanted David to hear the news of the battle first, and only after hearing the good news to hear of Avshalom's fate. Achimaatz wanted to be sure that David would hear the news about Avshalom in the context of the greater victory, not as an isolated event, hoping that that would mitigate the bitterness of losing his son. And we'll see in the next perek whether his tactic was successful. Thank you for studying together Li'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.